This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
After a trip, do you just throw your gear in the garage, or worse, the washing machine? Then you need the Gear Butler. Simply leave a pile of smelly, wet gear and clothing out on the curb, and Gear Butler will pick it up, clean it, maintain it, and store it until your next adventure. If you're too lazy to care for your gear, don't fear. The Butler is here.
Hey, everybody. This is Derek, and with me today is the only man who still makes mistakes when he eats pine cones for the brownies that he makes at home himself, Carl Mandrioli.
It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know how you mistake that. Do you see the joke there? I'm going to do what you do. Do you see the joke there? Do you understand the joke? Because pine cones are hard, and your brownies would be hard. Do you get that? This is what I deal with every week.
Welcome to the Backpack Listeners Podcast, everybody. With me today is Derek Smirrell. He's a man who accidentally went to a Star Trek convention as Chewbacca. It was a Wookiee mistake.
Oh.
Woo! Mistakes. Wow. Gear mistakes that everybody, including Derek, are making.
Pointing the finger
for those that are watching on YouTube. And I'm pointing at you, Derek, because you probably made all these mistakes. Let's be honest here.
Well, depends what they are. I mean, I made some few, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, we're going to find out. So
bringing you on every trip, mistake, you know? Every trip.
That's not a gear mistake. Person mistake. It's like a trip saboteur issue.
It's a friend choosing an issue there.
It is. So did you come up with any gear mistakes this time?
I got a few. No, but I have some great trivia that I think, I don't know if you're going to pass. I don't know.
Sidestepping.
You've been subpar. I mean, I got this notes for this episode about 25 minutes before the episode, so no, I didn't have time. Okay. Sorry to disappoint.
Yeah, that happens every time. I'm always last minute, apparently. But this is kind of our season finale. We're still going week to week. We've got a new episode out every week, but you're taking a little bit of a break where you're going every other week. Is that correct?
Carl's afraid to take a break in the summer. He's afraid.
Am I afraid? I just really like it, man. I have a lot of fun with the show.
I do too.
I have a lot of fun recording with you, but we're gonna go every other week, and we're gonna bring out some guest hosts, not because we want to, but because we have to, because Derek needs a little time off. He needs a little quiet time, don't you?
Quiet time. Two things. One, I need a break from your voice. I got some other summer things going on. It's a little busy at here in general already. So,
yep. And everybody believes that. People believe that.
So. I do like a break, actually. Yes.
All right. Well, I'll just throw out to everybody at the B&B family out there. If there's a guest host that you want to have hop on, you want to hear kind of a different side of them, male, female, whatever, I'm open to inviting them. We're looking, you just can't replace Derek, let's be honest, but we're looking for characters. We're looking for people that have minimum a sense of humor. And what would you look for, Derek?
Minimum.
What else?
Can you guys give it to Carl? the way I can give it to Carl. Can you just give him a little pushback?
That's I'm not asking the B&B family to be guests. I'm asking them to suggest one. Maybe like it could be, you know, another podcast host, a YouTuber. It could be Les Stroud, the Survivor Man, who we can't get on our show, but we tried. Mm. So it could be
Bear
any of those
Grylls,
people, right?
Whatever, yeah.
Bear Grylls, yeah. Any of those people, right?
Somebody with some personality, you know, that's it.
Personality, okay. Here's the key, though, is it, like they have to be conversational, which is different than somebody who's a talker.
Do you agree? Is very different. I will agree with that. Yes.
Yeah.
Don't be a rambler. We don't want a rambler. You want somebody who can keep it flowing, though.
Oh, there's people that just talk and they're not rambling. They actually have some good things to say and they've got good content, but it's just not fun to listen for 3 hours in a row. So,
could you do an episode where you interview yourself?
Oh, yeah, of course. Nobody want to listen to that, but why not?
You would listen to it. And then I'd have to edit
it. Yeah. You would edit it.
You'd send it over and be like, hey, how was this? I'd be like, ooh.
How was this? No.
I don't know if I could make it through that.
No, I would never want to do that, actually. I could do it if you challenge me, but I would not release it because that's embarrassing. So
that's a challenge none of us want to see, Carl.
All right. Okay. Anyway, so that's what we got going on. So still weekly episodes. We're mixing it up with some different folks. Probably people, if we're being honest, that are more knowledgeable about stuff than we are, but you never know.
I'm getting flack for taking only podcasting for 48 weeks out of the 52 a year. So
Wait a second. Whoa. You want to do some math here? That is incorrect.
I don't even know.
Because you took some breaks. You took some breaks in November. You took one in January. You took one in May. And if you want some fun facts there, May happened to be our biggest download month ever.
Well, then I guess I'll take every May off, baby.
We also had 5 Mondays in May, so that's part of the deal. But
that's
anyway.
Probably why.
All right, Bible verse, Proverbs 28:13. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Do you try to hide all of your mistakes?
All of them. Yeah, all of them. That's why I needed a time off in May. So No, I mean, if you consider kids in the hospital and breaking, but I mean, that's not really time off. I'm not really getting a break at all. Yeah. So I don't know. I try to be pretty transparent. I mean, other than, you know, you making up lies about a sleeping pad and you forgot your pillow. I mean, that's.
Yeah, I forgot my pillow. I am willing to admit to that. You're not willing to admit forgetting your sleeping
pad. But there's nothing to admit. There has to be something to admit to, right? That's the caveat there.
You answered your own question with that statement right there. All right.
No, thank you. If I can't lie, but there's nothing to hide if there's nothing to hide, you know?
Just cycle back through the season 3, season 4 episodes, and I think the evidence will speak for itself.
I think it will. I stand by.
What percentage of the people that have been listening to the show for a while believe you that you...
You've asked this question like 8 times. No. You recycled it. Do you think, and then you package it so you try to trap me with
Asked the question, do you think people believe you? I want the nitty gritty here. I want the percentage.
I don't have, there is, I'm not going to fabricate a number that's.
For people that are new to the show, Derek is claiming that shuttle driver Bill lost his sleeping pad out of the trailer and it was a wonky trailer on a dirt road versus forgetting it. And he then says that he went back home and bought the exact same sleeping pad, same color and everything immediately after the trip. Without using his REI membership.
It wasn't immediate. Okay. A, it wasn't immediate. B, it was REI brand, which they have all the time. And C, I found proof online of people having this same issue occur, and I told you about it.
What's the proof? Just remind me.
That other people had things fly out of trailers behind their car.
Oh, I thought you meant shuttle driver Bill specifically.
Oh, boy. I can't. How do I do this with you?
So what percentage believe you, do you think?
I'm not going to create a fabric. You live in a fantasy world. You know that, right? I could just say,
because I've had people like, reach out to me saying like, does anybody believe Derek? And I'm like, I don't think so.
That's like me saying like it happens. That's like me saying like it happens like 11% or something. Like I'm just making up 45-ish percent.
You don't want to play along. Let's get to the content here. Let's get to the big gear mistakes you are making. All right. So I came up with a list of things that I've either made mistakes I made myself or mistakes I hear people making or just from like watching you in life, just mistakes you're making. And I think they're common.
Probably.
All right. Well, I'll challenge you with some of them because I think that one of the most common mistakes that multiple people have made in our group is not storing their water filters correctly, like after a trip.
All right,
so
I would agree.
This is kind of a hard one because I think different filters, you do a little bit different things, but there's kind of some general ideas here. So what do you, or how would you store a water filter?
Like when I get home from the trip, what am I going to do? I'm going to, first of all, I'm going to backwash it if I need to.
Okay.
And then I'm going to clean, like the filter, I'm going to backwash it, make sure it's dried out. Mm-hmm. So leave it out and, you know, in the air where it can get in there. And then I'm going to probably store it. I'm not going to like just rinse it and store it.
Right.
And keep it moist and then let some mold get in there and get all funky.
Okay. Some people will add another level. They'll actually mix like a bleach solution.
Or bleach. Yeah.
Yep. And some people actually will store it wet and then will do the bleach afterwards. And mm-hmm. and then obviously you got to run water through it like to kind of make sure all the bleach is gone. But right. yeah, I'm with you. I don't store it wet typically. And I think there's some filters that actually they do suggest. You got to look at what your filter says. But
right.
most people dry out their filters. And you know what? Some of those filters can take forever to dry out.
Forever.
Yeah.
Forever. And even with the... even with the bladders, I mean, even though those big, you know, cases, like I'll throw a little lemon juice and water in there and then let it try to air dry. But it takes a while. Sometimes it can take
a while. That's my number two, storing wet reservoirs. You're right on top of things there.
Yeah,
I'm okay, on. So you throw a lemon juice in there. How do you, what's it, give me like a tactic you use to dry out your water reservoir.
What, like to hang it?
I don't know, whatever you do.
Sometimes I hang it, or if I can prop
it. Like hang it like in the, like a clothes hanger?
No. Well, I have done, I've hung it with like, bobby pins or pins or something and hung it. But I think I try to like inflate it a little bit and then try to, if I can stabilize it upside down, that's to me the best.
So you will actually pierce it with bobby pins, like put holes or not in
bobby
the water
pins. I mean, clothespins. Sorry.
Clothespins. I like the bobby pins better actually. Okay.
I bet you do.
Okay. Yeah. I think so. In more humid environments, these things will grow mold like crazy, and then you'll have like this funky taste with, with your water. It's just disgusting. It's hard to get out. And then you put like, I don't know. I like the lemon juice idea. If you start putting things like Dawn soap in there, it starts tasting like, that's how so hard to get out.
I feel like it never comes out. I feel like
it's hard to get out of the tube. It's possible they have like those little tube cleaners, but I typically will dry mine out, and I'll dry out like the Knock bags kind of the same way with salad tongs.
Salad tongs?
Yeah. So that creates that gap between them, and I just kind of put it on the counter.
Look at you. Huh?
You like that?
Salad tongs.
Salad tongs.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
It's good.
That was number two. All right. Number three. This one, I think people are getting better at, but I still, this is still a common one for newbie backpackers and even like newbie trip planners. This is bringing a massive first aid kit. Massive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
That's true. Yeah. Overpacking it.
Yeah. How would you define massive? Like, what's too much?
Way too many ointments. right? Like over an overabundance of moleskin and band-aids.
How many band-aids do you need? Let's think this through here.
I got the Costco and I pulled out half.
If you're bringing kids, you need a lot. You're not bringing kids?
You know, a couple, maybe like five. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's just more like the amount of each thing they're bringing is probably way too many, right?
All right.
20 bandages.
I think if you're buying a kit, like even at an outdoor store, and it's like first aid kit for the backcountry, and it weighs more than a couple ounces, overkill. If the bag itself weighs more than a couple ounces, you're probably really overkilling it.
Yeah.
So, yeah we had, I don't know, it was like at the, you know, my church trip last summer, there was a guy, they brought like a nurse dude along, and they're like, here you go, buddy. Here's your first aid kit. And it was probably like, I don't know, like a 2-pounder and maybe 3-pounder. He's like, oh, thanks so much. This is a great first aid kit. I'm good though. Like, I won't need this. I won't use this at all.
Good for him.
Yeah. He's like, this is ridiculous. He's like, I've got, you know, you got to dial it. And he wasn't like a super experienced backpacker, but he knew well enough to know that you don't just buy the store, whatever. So
Yeah. I've seen some that have like the compartments, the padded compartments for all the things and the
padded, zipper. Yeah.
I'm like, come on with the pads. You don't need the pads.
I think as you go, you start to realize what you're going to use, what you're not going to use. And so, you know, like you might use the bobby pin, right? Like if you're, you know, lancing the blisters, you might use a Band-Aid here and there or some tape or some Advil. But, you add all that stuff up, you're talking an ounce, maybe two. I think mine weighs an ounce.
You're a legend. Is that what you want to hear? You're a legend. What do you have, like half a bandage and like a fingernail amount of ointment?
You don't
like,
even bring a first aid kit. You rely on mine. Why are you judging mine?
This is probably the biggest mistake that I make backpacking is trusting that your first aid kit is sufficient.
You don't bring a first aid kit, and then you're like mocking me for
what do you, I should probably look at your first aid kit.
Oh my
goodness. Do you have any ointments in there? Is there any what ointment would you like, hydroperoxide in there? What do you got in there?
I have like the lubricating, like the sport shield things in case like somebody's got some chafage going on.
What do you chafage? What do you? That's a waste for me. What do you have to clean a cut? What do you got? Water? What do you got?
What do I have to specifically clean a cut?
Yeah, I got a cut. I got to clean it.
Clean the cut? You're going to clean it out standard with procedure. Soap and water is the best way to clean a cut. That's the best way. You're not going to start shoving junk into the cut. That's not what you want.
Nobody's shoving junk in a cut.
Yes, they are. There's like triple antibiotic ointments.
No.
They're like the medical profession is moving away from those, my friend.
What about, I'm not talking about ointments. I'm talking about, hey, how about a little, I don't know.
Literally said ointments a minute ago.
Not for cleaning a cut. How about a little hydroperoxo? How about a little bit of that?
Okay. All right. You're in charge.
How about a little hydroperoxo? Is that too much to ask? Like a little travel?
Yes.
Hydroperoxo?
How many cuts are you getting? What's going on?
Well, I don't know. Maybe a branch is scratching me and it cut. I don't know. I don't want to get, you know, some kind
of. If you're concerned, bring your own first aid kit.
Maybe I scraped it on some metal out on the trail from an old wheelbarrow or something. And, you know, I might get lockjaw out there. How about a little hydroperoxo? So basically, we're all in danger of lockjaw and infection because you don't have hydroperoxo. Thank you. Good to know.
All right. I would say it's time to put your big boy pants on and bring your own first aid kit.
Is that what it is? Or how about just add a little hydroperoxo? Okay.
You just want to keep saying that phrase, and it's getting annoying. So we're moving on.
Then do it. Maybe add it in there.
Okay. Next one. This is my favorite one. So your backpack, you know, you're sweating into it. You got some dirt on it. You put it on the ground a bunch of times. It's just dirty. Maybe it's a little stinky. And so you just kind of throw it in the washing machine. Yes, Derek, you've done this. Yes, I know you've done this.
Just put my shirt in the washing machine?
Unbelievable.
What are you asking?
Okay.
I was writing notes. I didn't even hear you.
No, your backpack. Your backpacking backpack.
I don't throw my backpack. I don't throw it in the washing machine.
You don't? You've never done that before?
I have. I have done it, but not usually after a trip. The only time I did it, I'm going to explain. I got a good reason.
Unbelievable.
I don't normally do it, ever. But
I don't do that. Yeah, you don't do that? Oh, no, I have.
I'm glad you're amused. Let me explain. This is an easy one. Right. Everybody take a breath. So easy to get you riled up. After every trip, I do not wash the backpack.
I didn't say you did after every trip. I just said you did it like one time.
Okay, I did it one time because I had to. I got the rip. Everybody listening to this, tune in. Mm-hmm. I got the rip in the Osprey backpack, and they said, you need to send your backpack back to us clean and washed, or we may throw it out if it's too dirty.
And if there's no other way to
What, do you want me to hose it down?
You can put it in a bathtub and scrub it.
Oh, jeez.
That's what everybody else does that cares for their backpack.
Or I just throw it in the gentle cycle and I call it a day.
There's like coatings in the backpack that help the fabric stay longer lasting. And it's just wrecking.
Are you buying the myth? Because I've had it since, how long ago was that? Like 5 years ago?
I don't know. Tell me.
Right.
I don't keep track of your backpack
history. It's totally fine.
All right. I will say there was one instance, and I'm open to ideas about what I could have done instead, that I threw a backpack, not my own personal one. It was one I bought at a garage sale.
Okay.
In the washing machine. It had a funky smell. I want to say this without using the exact source. It had the smell of a certain kind of smoke that is not legal in all states, if you know what I'm talking about. Okay. I tried every possible way to clean this thing, like deodorizer, baking soda, scrubbing, bathtub, soaking, like everything, like Dawn, whatever, and it wouldn't come out. And so finally I was like, okay, I'm just going to throw this in the washing machine, and that actually worked.
So can we agree it's more thorough? Is that?
Well, I wasn't using that pack, so I don't know what the lasting coating on that thing is. But do you have any other suggestions? Like what would you have tried to get the smell out?
I just would have put it in the washer. And put it on gentle.
Again with the washing machine. You're not supposed to do that, folks. Don't listen to Derek.
I would have put it on delicate.
Okay.
That's what I would have done.
Problem solved.
It's not that.
Not really.
Did it solve your problem? I don't know.
It did. But I want my backpack. I want to know, like, for my backpack, had an issue where maybe, like, your body odor, like, reeks so bad it, like, spreads on my backpack. Like, what do I do about that?
What about the salmon juice? What'd you do for the salmon juice?
Salmon juice, I had to use, they have these, like, I don't know what you call them, like, these ozone sprayers that you put in cars to get rid of the smoke smell. So I had to like spray down my backpack with the ozone, and then that created like a scent that was not what I want. And so I had to like air it out. This is like a month long process.
Yeah. So you refuse to put it in the washing machine, but you subject it to all these other things. Right.
Anyway, smart. I'm moving along.
Sounds like these other methods are real time savers. Let's keep going.
All right. I can't wait till you go to the Outdoor Retailer Show and we go to a backpack company. I was like, so Derek likes to put backpacks in washing machines. What do y'all think about that?
I love how you just package it. Like, hey, this idiot with me likes to package it, throw things in the washing machine on heavy duty. You're ridiculous.
Can we take your backpacks to our hotel room and then put it in the washing machine and see how it holds up? We do a test.
Are you happy to hear that I air dried it?
I don't care. You've already wrecked it. However long it was going to last, it's not lasting as long now.
It still works. I use it every year. How many times can I repeat myself?
Use it one time a year and you're like, this is amazing. Okay.
I wear it around the store like you with weights in it. Okay. It's totally fine.
Moving along. The next one is I've noticed a trend in the backpacking community where people obviously are, you know, they're bringing their devices, they're bringing their, you know, their phones, their cameras, and at nighttime they are charging their devices. And I'm noticing an overkill with those battery chargers. So
overkill.
Yeah, like you bring a battery and your battery can charge your phone 7 times. And over the course of the trip, you might only need to charge it 1 or 2 times, so you have excess battery. And so people are typically very like kind, and they'll lend out their extra juice to people who might need their stuff charged. I think this should be a piece of gear that people should share and just be like, hey, I got a big battery. I got the battery of this trip. You guys just charge your devices on it when, you know, at nighttime. Versus like everybody having one.
Would you consider that group gear?
Yeah. That's my suggestion. Is I think it's an error where everybody's bringing their own battery chargers.
Because I've done that 2 years now, where I brought a bigger charger, and multiple of you guys were like, "Hey, could I charge my phone?" And so I was like, "Yeah, sure."
But I think it should be communicated ahead of time, not like we have to, you know, like bend a knee to you and be like, "Derek,
bend a knee." This isn't Game of Thrones, okay? Listen, I think that the problem with that, I think, is like you don't know how many times you're going to need to charge your phone.
You don't think people can like figure it out, like? Not exactly, but like, oh, I need to charge just once or twice.
No, because you don't. What am I gonna like? A lot charges. You guys get one charge each. Like, I'm not gonna do that, right? So it's just weird. And I think that they don't. I think that you don't know. Like, when you get to, you don't know when you get there. Like, how many videos you're gonna take? Maybe it's more than the last trip. It's gonna drain the battery faster. How many pictures you're gonna take? All this. Maybe we're gonna do some filming. Or I don't know what ideas you're gonna come up with on the trail.
So your solution is everybody brings their own battery charger.
No, maybe you have like 2 or 3. Group ones.
Yeah. That's still the same idea. Compromise. Though. It's
group not just like one all, you know.
All right, I'll bring one, you're bringing one, and we'll assign one other person to bring one.
It's fair.
All right. I think that other people should do that. I know people like to go self-contained, and they're like, I just want my own stuff. I don't want to share anything ever. But I think this is an easy thing to share, especially when there's like...
Self-containment bothers you.
Oh, it does.
The truth comes out. The truth comes out.
I think I've shared that multiple times. I like when people are all on the same team and we have a common goal. I don't like a like stinks for you. Go back, you know, like I like to work together with people.
I think as long as we improve that first aid kit with you, I think we're fine. You know, okay. I think we're fine.
Next one I've got is this is one that I think was referenced with Lloyd from Garage Grown Gear back in January. This is one I think you referenced season one.
Oh,
but this is a gear mistake people are still making, and that is buying the pack last versus buying it first. Like, if you buy the pack first, as you suggested, then you're limited in what you can put in the packs. So you're not going to throw the extra junk in there.
In there, right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So buy the pack first. What size pack do you think is appropriate? Do your research, figure it out.
I mean, I don't know. I guess I would think to myself, like, hey, how much do I pack for like a weekend trip? Mm-hmm. Is it like multiple bags? Is it like a carry-on size? Is it a backpack? Like, I would sort of gauge how much you normally pack and then go from there. That's where I'd start.
Okay.
I would not, if I'm like packing a backpack full of stuff for a weekend, I'm not going to be going and buying like a 70 liter backpack.
Yeah. And here's where it's different is you're thinking, okay, somebody's starting out backpacking. They're going to be buying, you know, they're like going to go for an overnighter or go for two nights or whatever. But you'd be surprised, man. There's people that are like, I just watched the movie Wild. Yeah. My first trip will be the Pacific Crest Trail. Yeah. And so, and that,
but some people do it.
Happens a lot.
Some people do it. We've interviewed people like that. Correct. We've interviewed, yeah.
And so I think that, yeah, so that's why I say do your research, because your first trip or your early trips or your future trips are going to be different than everybody else's. So you never know.
Yeah, and if you're taking shorter trips and you buy a bigger backpack, I mean, you're just like, hey, let me just add on a couple pounds potentially for no reason at all.
Yeah. Right?
So what's next?
This next, okay, my next one, this actually brings up a story I think I've shared in the podcast. We have a buddy. His name is Darren. I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this. We're going to reference him. This is an interesting dude. And you can, Derek, you can speak to this because you're closer friends with him.
Yeah.
But this is a guy who, out of college, he was on my adventure racing team. And he and I did our first adventure race together. We met Ian Adamson together, the recent guest on our show. And he just was fitter than me. He was like a faster runner. He was just better than me. Fast forward 10 years later, he goes on a backpacking trip. And he is like a shell of himself.
Mm.
And he brought a multi-piece cook set with him.
Mm. Mm.
All right. You know, I'm talking about like pots, the pans, the lid is also a pan, the pot grabber, two pots, and like some bowls and everything that goes with it. And that's what I think the big gear mistake is bringing too much of the cookware. But I was thinking about him because now like 10 years after the adventure race, he was a shell of himself. He's out of shape. And I said, you know what, Derek? I said, you know, Darren, we don't need that. Don't bring that. And he like looks at me. He's like, oh, I'm bringing this. And then he put it in his backpack. It had to be like 4 or 5 pounds. He never used it the entire trip. And then he was like lagging behind.
I like that. I like that you were watching if he used it or not. You know, like an angry parent.
Did that. Little boy. I might have scolded. I'd be like, are you going to use that? Because you brought it. Anyway, fast forward 10 more years. Here's what's interesting is now he's like elite athlete again. And he did the Marathon des Sables. Is that right?
That's right. They trained for, I think he trained for a couple of years off and on. And
couple years.
Well, they delayed it. They delayed it when the start date was, so they had to keep training for another period of time. So, like, yeah, him is.
That's a race. It's like this race across the Sahara where you have to, you know, go at a certain pace. You got to carry your own gear.
It's the hardest race in the world. It's the hardest one. It's like
that's what they say. But there's a lot of races.
Marathon a day in the sand.
It's not. There's some that are longer than a marathon. There's some that are shorter. And it's not always in the sand. There's like the whole Sahara Desert is not made up of soft sand.
Mr. Sand Expert. But at the same time, multiple people die in this race on the regular.
Right.
So
they have this like person that like I don't know that. Rides a horse or a donkey
camel.
That brings up the camel that brings up the rear. And isn't it if you like fall behind that person, they just like they kill you or something?
They don't. Oh, jeez. I worry about your mental state sometimes.
Well, you know Darren better. I mean, he did the race.
Yeah, you're out of the race if they pass you. So, I mean, that's part of the challenge.
Here's my question. Yeah.
Would I ride the camel? I would ride the camel, yeah.
I've ridden camels before. They're fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so on the Marathon des Sables, he's now back in shape. He's an elite athlete, probably way better than us combined. Whatever that means. And
fake stat, Carl. Fake stat.
So on the Marathon des Sables, do you think he brought the multi-piece cook kit?
You know, I don't know. That's a great question.
All I'm saying is you don't need to overkill the cookery. That's the mistake. Long story short.
Did they have food at the camps? I think they had stuff at the camps. I could be wrong.
You got to bring your own food because I watched documentary.
One guy's
like, I'm going to go ultra light. I'm not bringing any like hard food. He only brought like the powder stuff to mix with his liquid. And then he like died. So
smart.
All right. So that was, I got one more.
Okay.
And this is a mistake. Okay. This is a mistake that I sense has been made, but I actually don't have any evidence of this.
Oh, boy.
You tell me if you think this mistake's been made.
More fake Carl stats. Okay.
It's not a stat.
It's gonna become one. Here we go.
It's not a stat. Okay. All right. A lot of the ultralight tents are moving towards the trekking pole tents. You need to have trekking poles to set up the tents. But some people, such as myself, don't bring trekking poles every trip. So I bet people have gone on a trip where they have a trekking pole tent and they actually forgot or left their trekking poles.
Yeah.
Mistake.
Yeah.
I think so?
100%.
I don't have a story about that. I just know that like that's something that I would do.
People forget stuff. Yeah, I think that could happen. I mean,
Yeah, well, no, it's like sort of forgetting because like if I don't, again, like I bring trekking poles sometimes, not every time, and so I might intentionally leave the trekking poles. I don't need it for this trip, but really I do because of my tent, right?
Right. Mentally, you're not thinking tent, trekking poles, right? Until you get in that habit. So, yeah.
Okay.
I could see that.
Just some theories.
I could see that. Yeah.
There you go. So that was, what was that? Eight different gear mistakes you might be making and ways to solve them. We didn't really have a way to solve the last one, I guess, the trekking pole situation.
Just bring them every time because they're awesome. Okay. And you end up borrowing them from me anyway, so.
I will say, so I'm not a big trekking pole user, but I've been training with them all summer. I got a question about the trekking poles.
Okay,
I got a
question. Okay, please.
All right, so I've been training with the Black Diamond Carbon Z trekking poles, the impossibly expensive ones.
Okay.
These are the ones
Did you get them at a garage sale? How'd you get these?
I shared before on the podcast, I got these a couple of years ago with my REI dividend and coupon because I was so embarrassed about spending so much money on them. They're like $160 retail, dude. They're ridiculous.
Why don't you just go to Costco? And then just return
because they're at the time, and they might still be. They were like the lightest trekking poles in the market.
Overdoing it. Okay. Anyway,
it was for the FKT, and so that's why I'm training with them.
Black Diamond trekking pole. Go ahead.
So I've been using them a lot. I've been using them to power hike up hills, to run some flats, to run up hills, to run down hills.
Get the mail.
Yeah. Thank you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I've been using them for every possible angle, terrain, whatever you want to call it. And these are the fixed length ones. They kind of like open like a Z and they kind of, they pop open. They're not the adjustable ones and they work, man. Like I like using them. They definitely save my legs, but I don't get why I don't get the adjustable trekking poles. Like I get the concept that you want to shorten them when you go uphill and you want to lengthen them going downhill, but I don't seem to have a problem. I'm going all terrain. I'm using fixed length and I don't even notice. So explain.
I feel like it's more of a comfortability issue, and you can be more high maintenance with the adjustable. You know, I mean, if it's obviously if it's really, really short, it's going to be really annoying, but I think the issue is more like if it's really, really all the way expanded and you're a short person, you know, they're just trying to accustom everybody's heights, I would imagine.
No, I just feel like you're more likely to break them. And then, because I've had poles in the past where you're like, okay, I'm adjusting these down. And then the pressure I put on the poles then compresses the poles where it's like ruining my adjustment.
Yeah. I think over time that function wears out.
Yeah. Right. So I would just always get the fixed length poles, I guess is what I'm just trying to say. I want to break them down still. I don't want to have them like, you know, like fixed length, like they're long all the time.
How do they pack? They just fold in half or what? A couple times they fold?
They break down into three pieces, but their three pieces are like kind of connected, not by like a bungee, but by some sort of plastic piece. And they just kind of, they lock out. I don't know. To me, like they're. Okay.
So are you going to bring them? Are you going to bring them on the trip?
I brought them on the trip last year.
July trip.
Yeah, I brought them on the trip last year and I used them for snow crossings. That's it. I'm bringing it on the FKT. That's what I'm training with them.
But not the July trip.
Do you really want me to bring them? Like you're like, I want to see.
I'm just curious if you're going
to
bring them.
I'm filming. Like if you're filming a trip, you have to deal with pregnant poles. It's super annoying.
Do you want me to use them and try them out and see if I like them?
Maybe.
Why don't you put them in your car?
Okay, here's the issue. The issue is like I'm going to use these for the FKT after the July trip, and these are known because they're carbon fiber to break really easily. So I don't want you breaking.
Okay, then I don't want to ruin it.
Unless you want to replace them, if you're willing to replace them.
$180 trekking poles that are easily broken. Sounds like a great deal. That sounds like a great deal. Good purchase.
I can't argue with you. I mean, make a fair point. It's ridiculous.
But you know, if I get my Costco ones, I can return them like 3 years later.
I'll tell you, I'll bring them. And you're probably pretty careful with them. If you're willing to replace them, if you break them, then you can use them.
I don't want to replace those. I don't want to pay for $80. No, I don't do that. I mean, I might like walk around the parking lot.
I'm not bringing them all the way to stinking Canada for you to walk around the parking lot with them.
Then I'm stuck with them, though. Stuck with them. All right, just don't bring them. Forget it.
All right. There you go. We had all these gear mistakes, including why I don't understand how the adjustable trekking poles work. I still don't understand why you'd want those because they eventually wear out, but whatever.
They save money, though.
Tell me why we're wrong. What did we miss and why were we wrong? What were we incorrect about? Please correct us because, as we all know, Derek needs a lot of correcting.
Or, well, probably, but you know, at least I can admit it, unlike some.
I do too.
Oh, good job. I do. Party.
You got trivia, though, right?
I got some trivia, and we're going to do it right after this.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping, MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
I've got two great resources for you to improve your performance on the trail. The first one is to go check out the Training for Trekking podcast by our good friend Rowan Smith. He knows what he's talking about. His easily consumable episodes will give you tips to strengthen your body and reduce injury while out in the backcountry. The next resource is Rowan's Facebook group, Training for Hiking and Trekking. I've joined the group and found a mix of information and inspiration while being part of a community. Both are great resources by Rowan Smith that'll help you go faster than Derek while out on the trail.
Okay, we have big mistake trivia here going on. Big mistake trivia.
Big mistake trivia is brought to us by Vaucluse Gear. Do you have a sweat problem? When your clothes get wet, your core temperature can dramatically fluctuate. This can cause hypothermia, heat exhaustion, dehydration, and embarrassment. Vaucluse's ultralight ventilation backpack frame solves this problem. Install it on your favorite pack to create a ventilating airflow gap. Check out this ultralight game changer at VaucluseGear.com and use code BLISTERS for $5 off, as always in our show notes. All right, I got some info before you start your trivia, okay? You ready for this?
Okay. Let me see it.
I went back through the entire season to make sure we had the correct stats for trivia losses.
Do I trust this response? Okay, go ahead.
No, do you trust it?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
Okay.
It's a vibe.
I'll tell you, well, do you want me to start with my losses or your losses? I'll tell you specifically.
Start with yours. Start with yours.
Okay. So I have five trivia losses over the course of season six. Mm. We did a Rowan Smith episode. Mm-hmm. I don't think you named that trivia. I lost that one. I lost toothpaste trivia.
Mm-hmm.
I lost animal trivia. Yeah,
that
when animals attack.
That was horrible. Yeah.
I lost Ian Adamson trivia.
Easy.
And I lost the random trivia from the poop show. So Strangely, three of these were in the last like month and a half.
Terrible.
All of a sudden, I happened to lose a bunch of these.
Terrible.
Wonder if that was strategic on Derek's part.
I don't know. Or you just didn't know. Yeah.
You lost Bear Grylls trivia. You lost Division trivia.
That was rigged.
The Great Divide trivia. You're going to say that about all of these.
Horrible.
So
that one was rigged. We all know it.
Bike trivia. That's the one we had Ryan Van Duzer on. And then FKT trivia, that was a recent one that we did. So,
four.
You only lost four. I lost five. And you're giving me the trivia. So if this is our finale, like I can't win.
It's in the bag, guys. It's in the bag. So you're going to have to jump in some water. I like it. I'll try to get it on film if I can, everybody.
I'll tell you what, I'm willing to do both punishments because I'm willing to have you bring your garbage pail kids.
Oh, boy.
I'll carry them. I'll try to trade some on the trail for some people's snacks.
I would love to film you trying to trade garbage bucket cards for
just bring
whatever.
Some of your extras. Bring like Melton Elton or Off the Wall Paul or whatever you got.
I don't even know what you're talking about. You're embarrassing yourself. Okay, I'll look for the double.
Yes, you do. You're the one that owns the garbage pail kids. Why do you not know
Melton,
what I'm talking about?
Melton? What?
Yeah, look it up. That's a garbage pail.
Stop it.
Look it up.
You're not. It's Melton. Milton is what it is. He's melting.
I'm going to look it up right now because I am 99.99% confident.
You're just going to fake Google and then say you're right. That's all. That's fine. That's all you're doing.
When you go back to this episode, you
Question
can look it up.
Number one. Are you ready?
Okay. No, because I'm looking up Melton Elton. Melton. It's like based on Elton John.
Melton.
1986 Topps Garbage Pail Kids OS for Melton, not melting. Melton Elton. It's a snowman that's, I don't know. Looks like it's freezing. Freezing right. Snowman. That's a weird
bonus thing. Bonus point for you.
Oh, good, it's melting because there's a little campfire there. That makes more sense.
Okay, good job. You feel vindicated? I'm proud of you.
I just want you to say you're wrong.
Thanks for wasting everybody's time during the show to Google that. And sure, I'm wrong. You got me. Okay, number one. Here we go. All right, these are the top, some of the top mistakes that were made. Which is not on the top list of these mistakes that are made by backpackers? These are let me clarify.
Where's the source?
This is from a thru-hiking website. And this is for thru hikers. So these are mistakes that thru hikers make.
Okay.
Three are true, one is false. I want you to tell me which one is false.
Right? All right. And the list is like a top 10 or top?
It's a top many, but I'm including four total possible answers. Okay. I'm narrowing it down for you. Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. So is packing cotton clothes a major mistake?
Okay.
Is packing too many clothes a major mistake? Are packing too many luxury items a big mistake? Or is packing the entire kitchen a mistake?
One of the last two hikers. Well, packing the entire kitchen for thru hikers. I'll do the kitchen one.
Incorrect. It was too many luxury items was not on that list. Even though it's possible... It was not on the list.
I should have known that. We use the phrase luxury items. I don't know if everybody else does. Yeah.
Okay. What is the number one? This is based on a website's research of a survey. There's many of these out there. But like, what was the number one mistake for beginning backpackers to make on a trip? Are you ready?
Okay.
Was it overpacking? Was it not enough food and water? Was it forgetting major items, sleeping bag, pillow, whatever. Was it not being aware of the weather and conditions and prepping for it?
Oh, it's the first one or the last one. The other two are not an issue. You feel overpacked, the food and the water. So I'll say the overpacking, the first one you said.
Incorrect. It was not enough food and water, just exactly what you said.
Really?
Yeah, it was like not...
Okay.
They don't eat enough. They don't.
I believe that that's what whatever source said, mm-hmm. but from your personal experience, you've gone with a number of first-time backpackers. How many of them have run out of food and water?
I would agree with you on the water portion. I think people overpack the water. Like we've talked about that.
And the food, man.
I don't. Well,
who's run out of food?
I think they overdo the snacks. They get over to the snacks a lot.
Dude, nobody's running out of food.
I don't know. You probably,
what site was that? Is it called like garbagebackpackinginformation.com?
I don't have to provide footnotes. Right. So that's my luxury. But right.
Derek is well known, for those that are new to the show, Derek is well known for finding amazing sources of information.
This is what Carl does when he's bad at trivia. He mocks everybody around him, mainly me.
Bad at answering bad questions, correct.
Look, I did the research. I didn't just pull these out of my armpit.
Yes, you did.
Okay. I would agree that the food and the water one shouldn't be number one. It shouldn't be number one. I would think it was more overpacking or something like that. So I would agree with you.
I've taken so many new people and this has never been a problem. And I can't tell, like, other than an actual backpacking guide, I don't know anybody else who's taken more new people than me.
Hey, newsflash. All the trips you've taken don't add up to like a fraction of the smallest percent of all the trips taken throughout these surveys. Right. So
good fake stat.
I know you're a big deal.
Good fake stat.
I know you're a big deal.
I didn't say that.
But there's more trips than what you do. There's more trips. Okay. It's crazy. I know. It's crazy.
All right. Number three, what you got?
Okay. all right. This is another. There's only three of these, so it should be pretty easy for you. What's the most overrated as being like, this is the most overrated thing as far as being, this is going to be easy. This is going to be successful. This is going to be no problem. Like, what's the most overrated thing of these three? Campfire cooking. Like, oh, let's do that. It'll be easy. Campfire cooking.
I'm with you.
Buying all in on a forecast. Like, oh, the forecast is this. 100% I'm going to pack for that. I don't need to bring a jacket. Or is it C, no need to check your gear between trips? I'm good.
Oh, that's like a weird question. I think I'm tracking with you. It's got to be the first thing you said.
Campfire cooking?
Yeah.
It was campfire cooking. Correct.
I got one right. No way. I got a Derek question right. Time for celebration. Celebration. For
sure. Look at you. Proud of you. One out of three is good for you. Nice job. 33%. Failed another one. 4-6 this year. 4-6. It's terrible.
Yeah. All right. That ends the season. We'll start fresh next time. One conversation that's come up a bunch over the course of the year, because we've had so many guests on this year, is people have been sharing like, I've seen this guest in a new light. I've seen their personality. It's been cool to kind of learn more about them. And then they say something to the effect of like, I would go backpacking with that person. Okay. So I asked you, I don't know if you came up with a list here, but I asked you, of all the guests we've had on this year, not guest hosts, but just actual guests, who are you like your top three people you would go backpacking with?
Top three people I would go backpacking
with. Did you come up with a list or no?
I haven't had time to think about it. You sent me that right before the episode. What are you talking about?
We talked about it a while ago, and you're right. That one I did send you right before the episode.
Of the people we've talked to. Other than
people we've interviewed,
other
this
than the
year,
people that are coming on this trip already, right?
Yeah. So like Justin Outdoors wouldn't work. John Kelly was a guest host, but people that were just like we're meeting them for the first time, they're guests.
I'm trying to remember all the interviewers we had. Who would I want to go with? I think it'd be interesting. Yeah. I think it'd be interesting to go with Van Duser.
Okay.
I think it would be interesting to go with. Was it Steve? Was his name?
Steve Outdoors.
Okay. That'd be interesting.
Steven Smith. Yep.
I'm trying to think of the other one that came to mind.
We had had Jeremiah Stringer on. He was early on in the I'm trying to think of who early in the season. We had Christine Reed. She was the author. We had Emily Ford. You missed that one. She was like the
I know. It was the who was the it was a YouTube lady you interviewed.
Brooke Whipple.
Yeah. I think it'd be interesting to go with her. Actually, so you have three?
It's crazy, man.
It's the same list? The same
almost,
list? Same order?
Almost. So, I had Steven, I had Ryan, I had Brooke. I didn't know if Brooke was appropriate, like, unless we were doing like a large group thing, because I wouldn't want to go one on one with somebody who's not my wife. So,
you're overthinking. Just like, who would be
right? Those would be my three. Those would be my exact three, strangely enough.
What?
But if I did like eliminated women just because of the weirdness there, like, I would choose Rob Pelton.
Mm.
He was a lot of fun. So, I'm probably missing somebody, but those are my three. So that's interesting that we have the same list.
Would they go with you is a question. Since you're being...
I already invited Steven and he sidestepped the question. Ryan on our show invited us, but I don't know if that's a real invite. Brooke's really popular. And she doesn't really backpack, but she would hang out, I think. If I was like, hey, we're going to do some sort of weird, like make your own, I don't know, cabin. And then let's raft it down the river.
I think that'd be fun.
All in on that.
Interesting. That'd be a different kind of trip, too.
All right. That, my friend, is all I got.
That is all I got. Guys, thanks again for tuning in. Thanks, Jen, for tuning in to season 6, right? That's a long
season
one.
Season 6.
Get ready for the summer. We got more stuff. Check out the Patreon, all that fun stuff, Backpacking Blisters podcast. We will see you next time. Make sure if you're a beginner, you go with Carl because he will throw all of his extra gear in there and then blame you for it and your heavy backpack. Biggest mistakes, right? We're talking about biggest mistakes. And there is a big mistake that I've made trip after trip after trip. I mean, I tent with Carl. I hang out with Carl. And it's like the biggest. I never check it. I need people to remind me this. Like, you have to see if your friends are going to bring any underwear on the trip. It's you have to check. You have to check.
You go out there and the fish are where you think they are, any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know, right here at Hawk's Cay.
Oh, that's awesome!
Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. A life that has the stories to back it. A life to be proud of. It's a Winchester life.
Yeah, baby. 6'8 Western. Oh, mule deer, baby, right there.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV